Pastor Dean. We've been working together for 1 year, and I just want to thank you personally for the help that you've been for me. It has been a wonderful year working with you, and I am glad that I think it's official to announce where you're going? Okay. I am glad to announce that he is, even though he is leaving, he's not going far. He has decided to only just head down to Beatrice and be a part of that district, so he's not going to be too far away from us, and I'm very happy for that. But this last year has been wonderful to work with you, and I appreciate all the help that you've given to me as I came here. But I want you to look out there and realize that this is your church family too, and we want you to know that we have been very blessed by you guys, that as you leave here, you're going to be a blessing for others. So thank you again, and God bless you.
I ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you've given to us the opportunity to come together and to share in how you have led this church and how you plan to continue to do so. So speak to us and speak to our hearts as we know that you are moving us to follow you and to call others to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning in your bulletins, you will notice that it says, thankfully, that I'll be sharing with you a Sabbath message. It does not say sermon, and I'm glad that they didn't, because I do not have a sermon prepared for you this morning. I have some texts from the Bible. I have some thoughts prepared, some points. But this morning, I'm not going to share with you a sermon because the occasion is more fitting for me just to share some things from my heart, some hopes for this church for the future, and of course, some lessons that I have learned along the way, some lessons that all of us have learned together. I don't necessarily understand everything that the Lord does, but there are a few things that I've learned in my time in ministry, in my time here at the Piedmont Park Church. And so, as I look back, I see that the Lord has done some great things in this church. Just in the short time that I've been here, God has done some amazing things. And I learn my first lesson, that God wants to do great things in His church. If we will just go to Him and say, Lord, do something great in my life and in my church, He will do it. And the first place where I learned that here at this church was our time praying together on Wednesday evenings. I have so appreciated. Wednesday evening was a bastion of support and fellowship for us as we've come together these last 2.5 years. And the one thing that we do that I think is very different here on Wednesday evening with our prayer meeting, you don't see a lot of it happening in other as much to a certain extent in most churches. But the one thing that we focus in when we come to prayer meetings, we come here to pray. And a lot of churches do a lot of different things, Sunday churches and Adventist churches and so on and so forth, and they come together and they have little worship services or this or that, whatever. When we come together on Wednesday, we pray. And we pray for all of you every single week. And I know that that has made the difference in the lives of a lot of folks. And God has done great things through our time in prayer. I remember specifically, just not too long after we had gotten started with our Wednesday evening prayer meeting, Dr. Madiri, those of you who know Dr. Madiri from Union College, who just left our church and left this community just a few weeks ago, came to our prayer meeting with a specific request. And he said to us, I have a specific request for one of my students. I have a student who's just not doing well. He's just not engaged in class. He's actually a bit rebellious and just is not interested in learning and not interested in taking instruction from me. And we need to pray about this individual. And so we put it on our prayer request list. We prayed about it. And it is, as it is my custom and the custom of many at our prayer request time, is we prayed not only for that prayer request that Wednesday evening, but on a daily basis as we individually would come to the Lord in our personal time, prayed for all the prayer requests that people brought to us, and prayed for this young man. We don't know his name. But within, I don't remember if it was 1 week or 2 weeks, Dr. Madiri came back. And one of the other things that we do during our prayer time is we do praise time first. We have a time of where we thank the Lord for the things that he does. Before we go asking the Lord for him to do something for us, we thank him for the things that he's already done. And Dr. Madiri raised his hand. He says, "You all remember that young man a couple weeks ago that we prayed for?" And we said, "Yes." And he says, "It's amazing. His attitude has changed completely. Over the last couple of weeks, he has gone from being completely disengaged in class to listening, paying attention, you know, taking notes, interacting with me, and it's a miracle." And you know, God does some amazing things, and sometimes he can do them just in a moment's notice. And this young man who we prayed for, his attitude and his life turned around. I firmly believe because of the prayers that were lifted up for him during the time that we were praying for him on the Wednesday evenings. But sometimes the Lord does things in slow ways. Doesn't he, Doug? Doug's somewhere. I'm not sure. Yeah, there he is. Many of you will remember the long weeks and months that we prayed for Doug. And these days, with this economy, there's a lot of Dougs out there. There's a lot of people out there who are struggling to make ends meet, people who've lost their job and trying to make it happen. And you all remember, because all of us in this whole church was lifting up Doug and Doug was praying, "Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a job." And week after week, Doug would come and meet with us on Wednesday evening. Month after month, this church would lift him up from our time in corporate prayer here together, individuals, lots of people. I know that my personal prayer partner and I specifically prayed for Doug every time we got together and prayed for our church and prayed for our specific needs. But the Lord didn't answer that prayer right away. And it took a long time. And they have this saying that whatever doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. And I know that at times in my life, and I'm sure in Doug's case, Doug really wondered whether that saying was true or not. But God saw him through to the other side. And it was it more than a year, Doug? It was almost a year. Just about a year's time being on unemployment and praying and slashing his own personal budget and rearranging things and doing this and doing that. And God took his sweet time, but God knows why he does what he does. And God took care of Doug throughout that whole time. But he took care of Doug, and I believe because of the prayers of every member of this church that lifted him up. And you and I have the privilege. We have the privilege of being a part of a miracle story like Dr. Madiri's. We have the part of being, we can be a part of wonderful situations and helping lift people up like Doug. And I believe that God wants to do wonderful things through this church. And many of you have prayed for my wife and myself and for God's leading in this situation as we've been going through this transition. One other prayer request that I'm just amazed. When you pray, God answers prayers. Sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes he works through silence. The interesting thing was as this whole process was going about, I had spoken with a friend of mine from another conference, an administrator, and he says, "Oh, Dean, you're in transition. Here, let me see what it can work out." And then one morning, just a few days after speaking to my friend, all of a sudden I got four requests on Facebook for friendship, two of which were members of a pastoral staff of a large church that I knew what was going on. They were looking for a youth pastor. And I knew kind of this, a little bit about the situation at the church, and all of a sudden, the senior pastor and the associate pastor are asking me to be friends on Facebook. I'm like, what's going on with this? I bet you I can tell. And so I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is an interesting situation, but I also know a little bit behind the story, and I know that this may not be the type of situation that would be good for us. So, Lord, if this is your will for us, then open the doors. But I'm going to ask you, Lord, if this is not your will for us, then I ask that you shut the door right now. And from the moment I prayed that prayer, that afternoon that I got those requests, I have heard absolutely nothing from anyone within 100 miles of that church. And it's interesting how the Lord just uses prayer to do big things, to change people's lives, to give people the strength. And sometimes the Lord just does things in a silent way. I don't try to pretend to tell God how to do what he needs to do. But nonetheless, I know that if I ask him, he will do it. In John chapter 14, verse 14, if you want to look it up, it says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. God wants to do wonderful things for you and for this church. But the first thing we have to do is we have to ask him. We have to take the time, and he will do it. In fact, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 tells us, God says to us, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But it all, these great and mighty things, God says he's going to do these great and mighty things. But he says, first, you've got to call to me. So what I learned? I learned that great things can only happen through prayer. You and I have hear stories of wonderful things happening in people's lives and this and that and churches that do great things. But every time you hear those stories or you talk to people about these wonderful things that God's doing, you always will find somebody somewhere praying in order for those wonderful things to happen. So my first encouragement to this church this morning is to pray hard. Pray really, really hard. Every single one of you needs to be warriors in prayer. I think we as Christians just miss out so much on the wonderful things that God wants to do with us simply because we didn't take the time to get down on our knees. Nothing would make me happier than to see a church walking around with all its knees torn out of its pants because it had been praying so hard. And if this church is going to live up to the call that God has for it, that's exactly what it's going to take. It's going to take a whole bunch of people walking into the church and then saying, I'm sorry about my knees and my pants, but I was just down praying so much this morning, praying for my brothers and sisters in my Sabbath school class, praying for the pastor in church. And by the way, folks, if you do anything in the morning, pray for your pastor. Pastor Michael, there is nothing more, I think I can speak for you, Pastor Michael, that would help him and that he would appreciate more than your constant day-to-day prayers. And obviously, we need to be praying for each other. If you're going to pray for nobody else, just pray for the pastor, the pastoral staff, and for your brothers and sisters who are in your small group or your Sabbath school group. If we do anything, if we're going to get anything accomplished, it's only going to get accomplished through prayer. God wants to do wonderful things, great things, but great things can only happen through prayer. The next thing that I've learned in being here is that youth want to do great things. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it tells us, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Friends, God wants to use his young people. And And God, we have seen that happen here in a multitude of ways. And it was mentioned earlier, our evangelistic series. And for those of you who are visiting, who don't know about what happened earlier this year, we had a bunch of 14-year-olds up here who just, for some reason, got it into their heads that they thought that they were Mark Finley. And you know what? I can promise you one thing. Mark Finley could not have done any better of a job than what happened in this church this past spring. For those of you who don't know the story, somehow God placed it on the heart of Peter Adams in the 8th grade class at Helen Hyatt to do an evangelistic series. And they took the task of preaching the Word of God and presenting on multiple nights of the week, standing up and presenting prophecy with the whole screen and everything. And these young people came together and they practiced their sermons. And I sat with them. I said, here, do this and do that and say it like this and preach it like that. And don't forget that. And oh, that's here's how you pronounce this and all those things. But what was just amazing to me was just to see young people who are part of our church, you know, like Stacy and like Alyssa and Jonathan, and they were up here, and they were preaching God's word. I mean, and they were just giving it to people and giving their own perspective and saying, I can do this because God has called me to do this. Church, never underestimate our youth. They are able to do anything that God calls them to do. God may call them to preach sermons, to sing in front of church, going out door to door, which one of the things that I appreciate about this church is our young people are obviously willing to go get together and have fun times, and we've had a lot of those, but they're also willing to get out there and go door to door. I remember going out there and I was with Kevin, we were going door to door and we were knocking on people's door and we were passing out flyers for the Vacation Bible School, and we were walking up to this one house just down Cottoner, about 2 blocks down, and we were walking up to the house, and the couple was just arriving, and so rather than knocking on the door, we kind of greeted with them, and we said, hi, my name's Kevin, so on and so forth, this and that, and we started to tell them about the Vacation Bible School, and the man just kind of gets this long face, and he's looking, and we can tell, you know, body language tells you everything, and he's beginning to get a more stern face. And I don't think he even let Kevin finish his little spiel, and he's like, I'm sorry, we're Catholic. And he kind of like pushed the flyer away, and we're like, okay. And so we just kind of sheepishly turned around and went on to the next house. But that's exactly what we did. We went on to the next house. And we went from house to house to house. And, you know, I don't know if anybody from the neighborhood did or didn't come, but I was just glad for our young people to have the opportunity to go out there and share. And when hard times came and when people slammed the door in their face, they kept on. They kept on learning what that was all about and learning to be persistent, because the Bible calls us to persistence. But the other door-to-door experience that I will remember was in preparation for our evangelistic, the youth evangelistic series. We went out door-to-door, and there were several young people from our church and quite a few young adults from Union College. And they decided that the Saturday beforehand, that they were going to go out there, and then they were going to take flyers out to the community and ring doorbells and knock on doors. And as a result of that, we now have Maria as part of our church. And not only Maria is with us, but she has several friends that she has brought. And I just shudder to think, what would have happened if I or the young people had had the attitude that a lot of people have, you know, I'm not going to go door-to-door anymore. I'm not going to go out and do mission work because no one ever wants to see you at the door and so on and so forth, this and that. And well, you know, down the street about 2 blocks, there is a guy who doesn't want us to approach him with any flyers. But what if we hadn't gone out door to door the day that we met Maria? What if we hadn't given her that flyer? Actually, we didn't even give it to her. We gave it to her friend that she was visiting. God had a little divine appointment. And whoever it was that visited that house and knocked on that door, they gave that flyer to the friend. Their friend wasn't interested, but Maria was there. She's like, oh, I'd like to learn about the Bible. And so Maria got it. What if we hadn't gone out that day? What if we had decided that going door-to-door doesn't work anymore? What if we decided that mission work is just something that we need to do and put our money into TV and It Is Written and so on and so forth, and we'll just kind of sit at home and watch 3ABN? And I don't have anything against It Is Written or 3ABN or any of those things, but eventually it takes boots on the ground. Any army general will tell you, and we are learning that it takes people going out there, people, Jesus in skin, touching people's lives. And I want to applaud our young people for being willing to go out there and preach the word and hit the streets and tell other people about Jesus. I could talk about so many instances, and I know that Tal has been telling people about Jesus while he was at basic training this summer, and I haven't even had a chance to catch up with him, so I'd love to tell you one of those stories, but I'll let him do that, because I'm sure that he has a lot for this church to hear, and I certainly hope that you give him the opportunity to share that with you. But God wants to use his young people to do great things. But the interesting thing is, with young people, as it is with the rest of the church, great things can only happen when we equip and empower our young people. We have to encourage them. We have to give them their spot here on the pulpit for them to preach the word, for them to share their gifts, their musical talents, their ability to read the Bible and to lead this church. Essentially, having young people have a positive experience in church is more than just about coming and sitting and listening in Sabbath school. And I've enjoyed teaching Sabbath school down with the young people. But if that's all that we have for them, the program is incomplete. We need to be training our young people to lead the church. And as we have learned, as well as any other church, our young people are capable of leading the church. God calls people from a very young age. We know that from the Bible, from the pioneers of our church. God is looking for young people. And I think that he has found a very fertile crop here at the Piedmont Park Youth Group. And God will do great things, but he wants us to equip and empower our young people. And finally, I have learned that God's people, in fact, all of God's people, really, truly want to do great things. It's not just our young people, but this church wants to do wonderful things and make an impact in the lives of other people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." God is calling us to be fellow workers with him. He's calling us to be, in some translations call it, co-laborers. God is doing wonderful and mighty things, and his Holy Spirit is working in the lives of those of us here and those of us in our community. But he needs us. He needs us. I don't know why he chose to use such weak and vulnerable people like myself and yourselves, but he does. He absolutely needs us, and he wants us to do great things for him. And he has called us, and I believe that this church wants to do great things. And the place where I've learned that in this church is with our men's ministry. I was given the task as I arrived here of helping get men's ministry started here at the church. And I was thinking, men's ministries, never led that before. Really didn't know anything about men's ministries. The only thing that I'd ever done in men's ministries in all of my life is I had been to a men's ministries retreat. I had gone to one of the Promise Keepers meetings back in Denver, Colorado, years ago. And that's the only men's ministries related thing I'd ever done in my life. And so I'm like, I've led a lot of different things, given, you know, Bible studies, sermons, evangelistic series, done a lot of things in the church, but never done men's ministries. And unfortunately, there's not enough men's ministries that goes around and happens in the Adventist church. And, you know, we need more men's ministries. But our time here with the men has just been a joy. I remember we started out small. the church asked Kevin and I to work together. And it has been a joy to work with Kevin Young and all the men who've come out. And at first, it started out real small. We had a gathering, and we found some people in the community who were not part of our church who needed some help. So one Sunday, we got together. We've got about six or eight people, and we went out and we mowed some yards and cleared some branches and helped them out. And the ladies, the older ladies whose names we had gotten from one of the community agencies, were so thankful. We got to make some positive impressions in the community for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the interesting thing was, I thought, well, the guys will, you know, okay, it's been hard work, whatever. But when I talked to the folks after they were done, they're like, that was great. I'm like, what's so great about yard work? I don't know about you guys, but I don't like yard work very much. But, you know, you go out and you do it. But the men came back and they're like, that was great. We need to do it again. And so we did. And the next time we found some of the older members of our own church. And we went out and we cut branches and cut grass and did things. And we got more people out. And then the more that we did, the more people grew interest. Until the last service project, we had a couple of projects going on at the same time. We did some work here at the church, and we were helping George and Virginia move, and there were a bunch of men who came out, but in the end, it wasn't just men. There were men and there were women who were helping them with moving, and even the project before that, helping them clean up their house, and in the end, when you're doing things for the Lord and you're making an impact, it becomes contagious. And even though our projects were men's ministries projects, there were some ladies who were like, men's ministry, nothing, none of that. I want to help them out, and George needs our help, and the church needs to be, you know, spruced up. And so we had everybody, lots of people coming out and doing lots of different things. So my encouragement is continue forward with men's ministries. But continue forward with ministry in general. That God wants to do wonderful things. And I'm not sure if Kevin is here, but Kevin, wherever you are, you did a good work. Keep doing it. Those of you who have been involved with men's ministries, you guys have done a wonderful work. Keep doing it. And those of you who haven't had an opportunity to jump in and get involved, do it. And if gardening and cutting down trees and cutting grass isn't your thing, that's fine. You don't have to have a mower to make an impact in the community. But God is going to call you to do something. God wants to use you to do great things. God can use anybody to make an impact in somebody's life. And there's nothing greater than to have gone away from an encounter or an experience or an event or a service project and said, you know, I made an impact in somebody's life. Maybe they're going to come to know Jesus Christ. Maybe they aren't. But I have done something good. And when you do something for God, there is no feeling, there is no experience in the world that can take that place. Because knowing that you are a part of a God thing helps you to realize that you're doing something that's bigger than yourself. And that somehow, in some way, God has used you to impact the life and touch the heart of someone else. And that's really at the heart of what God is calling us to do. We don't know all the ins and outs of the results of the work that we're going to do. But God calls us nonetheless to do them and to leave it in His hands. Our Bible text this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. God knows better than you do what He wants and needs you to do. Keep doing it. Keep serving. Keep praying. Keep loving. Keep fellowshipping. Do all those things, and you will make an impact in this community that you will never expect or understand. You may never even see it, but God wants to use you. So that's my call to you this morning, to be used by God, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to pray and say, God, how do you want to use me today? Bring somebody in my path today that I can make a spiritual difference in their life. It may be a physical act, to meet a physical need, but you can lead me to someone so that I can make a spiritual impact in their life. God is calling all of you, and God is calling this church to do great and wonderful things. He says, call on me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God is calling the Piedmont Park church to do great things. The question is whether you will respond. Let's pray together and ask him to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you have given to us such a wonderful church family. And God, I personally want to thank you. I want to thank you for the privilege that I have had to lead this church, these young people, these men, prayer, and all the things that have happened here that I've been a part of has been my privilege. And I pray that you would keep this church, that you would protect it, but most of all, that you would give it a vision for how you would have it to impact the Lincoln area and the whole world. You have called all of us to be co-laborers with you. Help us. Help us to hear you calling us today, and give us your Holy Spirit, as you promised to do in Luke 11:13, so that we will hear that call, that we will answer the call, and that through your strength, we can do all that you are calling us to do. We can make an impact in this community, and your coming can be hastened, so that we can go home very, very soon to be with you. For this is our greatest desire. And we pray these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And before we have our closing song, I would indeed like to pray one more time for Pastor Dean and for Raquel. So Raquel, if you would come and join us back up here. I'd like to invite the elders, the leaders of our church, to come and join us. We're going to have them kneel down, and we want to send them off the right way. And we want to pray for the Lord to be with them, to bless them, and just pray for them that the Lord will guide their steps everywhere they go. Can we say amen to that message that we heard today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Raquel, for coming up. Let's have you guys kneel down. And then, elders, I want you just to gather around them, and let's kneel. Let's pray for them, like you, to bow your heads as we pray. Almighty Father in heaven, Lord, this morning you have challenged us through your servant, Pastor Dean, that we might be a church of prayer, that we might be a church that reaches out. And so, Lord, we take this wonderful couple that you have given to us at this time, and we ask you to bless them. We ask you, Lord, to bless their love for each other. May it grow and deepen through the years. For being in ministry is not easy. So, Lord, they need you in their hearts and in their home. And, Lord, we ask as they leave us, as they head to a different place of ministry, that you will bless them again, that you will use them in a mighty way, Lord, that you will fill them so full of your love, your grace, that others will know you just for having met them and rubbed shoulders with them. We pray for their churches that they're going to be a part of, that they're going to lead. Lord, may they embrace these two special people. May they love them and become a wonderful team together for you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in their lives, for all that you've done through them. And now, Lord, wherever you lead, help Pastor Dean, help Raquel, help all of us to follow. Until that day when we have no more goodbyes, that day, Lord, when you come again to take us all home. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. And all those willing to follow said, amen.